the gap happened after the change in the United States of the requirements for getting what they call renewable energy credits or RIN credits. And there was a double lot of them, one lot from California, and then there was the main ones. And that all changed after the elections and everything else last year in the US, and the rules changed on that it had to be from domestic production in the US to get access to those credits.
So international biodiesel was immediately less attractive.
Well, yeah, not necessarily immediately. It was a slow progress of time, and that certainly changed the. It took 6 months probably to wind down on prices from what were almost record high prices for nearly 6 months on tallow. Well, for 12 months on tallow, actually, of around about $1,000 a tonne.
Is it fair to say the industry has, well, the demand has bounced back?
Yes, the demand has come back. It's still nowhere near the volume that was going back in 2013 and early into the, well, halfway through 2014 when the volumes were probably nearly over 300,000 tonne a year. At the moment into Singapore, it's probably around about 250,000 tonne a year or about 20,000 tonne a month.
And how much of our tallow, Australian tallow, ends up in Singapore? How significant is that market?
That probably represents probably nearly 65% of Australian production or exports.
So how does the tallow industry cope with that fluctuating demand and relying so heavily on what happens with the end user, the renewable energy policy in the US, for example?
Well, we have other markets for tallow. Tallow is used in soap manufacture quite extensively. It's also used as animal feed, and of course, then this other option is the biodiesel. They're the main uses. About 4,000 tonne of tallow a month goes into Taiwan for animal feed mainly. There's tallow that goes to China, or China's been back a little bit, Korea, so Pakistan, and so there is a number of markets. There was a bit of a scurry after the six-month lull, and there was product going into Nigeria and all sorts of places to fill the gaps. But there's always a market for the product. It just it will obviously affect the price that we end up getting.
Now, you're based in Queensland, but here in Western Australia, how significant is the tallow industry?
Well, in WA, there's still a large volume. I mean, the biggest kill, of course, for cattle and sheep is on the east coast, but it's still a significant operation in WA, and from way down the south, where you've around Albany, there you've got the Fletcher operation, and then you come up and you've got Walsh's and Harvey Industries, and then there's Tallowman, which is part of the Craig Mostyn Group, and they're a large service renderer. So all of those companies do take a lot of product and they process a lot of that a lot of tallow.
So there's big business in creating this valuable commodity from, well, really it's a byproduct of our slaughter process that can't be used in human food.
Yes, it is. It's the bits and pieces. It's the pieces that are left over. So we manufacture tallow, and of course the other byproduct we manufacture is meat and bone meal. We sort of slide under the radar a fair bit. Often the invisible industry we called ourselves for many, many years. You know, the industry's worth about $1 billion domestically and export for rendered product.